Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I want to say good evening to everybody. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Tonight's show, we're going with part 10 of What in Hell Do You Want? We're going to turn it over to now to the speaker of the hour. Brother Parker, are you there? Brother Parker?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
Sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Hear
we're here. We are live. Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, we're just so happy that everyone has tuned in this evening, and we have speakers that are coming on, and we want you to know that if you would like to have something to say, call in, and we'll let you say what you have to say. And also, if you have any questions, call them in, and we will answer your questions, even on tonight. So we want you to know that. Tonight, our first speaker has been on here before. He is the retired coach and college instructor who is here tonight, Mr. Charles Moore, who will be speaking with us first. Mr. Moore, are you there? We're going to open unto you so that you will be the first speaker, Mr. Charles Moore.
Oh, no, sir. He's not on yet.
He's not on yet?
No, sir.
Do we have any other speakers on? Mr. We have the minister of the Darien Loop Church of Christ, who is the sponsor of this program, Brother Lewis Parker IV. He will be speaking as well, a young dynamite speaker. Is he on board right now?
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm speaking tonight. What in hell do you want? Down there. This is part 10 of What in Hell Do You Want? You know, some folks are saying, well, why are you preaching about hell so much? Well, if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's all trying to keep you out of hell. Ooh-way. You know, this is just a temporary state. Living on this earth is temporary. We will leave here. And then the earth is also temporary. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up. Day of judgment shall come. And all men, all those who have lived on this earth, will be judged according to their deeds. And they're going to either be in hell or in heaven. And that's why I want to know, what in hell do you want? Open your Bibles. Exodus chapter 9. Read the Bible. Read all of Exodus. But I want to get into the heart of certain things that were happening in the book of Exodus. Ooh-way! Kind of remind us of what is happening today with us in America. You see, America, if we notice the Bible, in the beginning, we know that Adam gave names to all the cattle of the and the fowl of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And Adam and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. and they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. Now listen, God created the woman for the man. Now all of a sudden, in America, what we call the Supreme Court, can't get no higher than that in our government, the Supreme Court ruled that men could marry men and women could marry women. Ooh, that's a low down, dirty shame. And God is not pleased with it. God is not pleased. We've already been going through some trials and tribulations because of the wickedness that's increasing in America. The fact that we care less about a God. Men and women are doing whatever they want to do in this country. If it feels good, do it. Whatever it is, do it. And the government will stand behind you. Now notice what happened. You see, the government now has enchained us to sin. What are you talking about, Parker? We're talking about no good living sin. How can two men marry, two women marry? God never approved of it. He created the woman, the man, not a man for a man and a woman for a woman, not Adam for Steve. He created Adam for Eve, not Adam for Steve. And Eve was not supposed to be with Elizabeth. We need to listen. We got some hell going on in church, in the United States, and I want to know what in hell do we want. This has been one nation under God. One nation under God. We are no longer under God according to the Supreme Court. They are under Satan and all of the hell that they want to embrace. Two men marrying. Two women can marry. Now notice what God did in the Old Testament and the Exodus, the 9th chapter. Read the whole chapter when you get a chance. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Listen, America, one nation under God, you're now embracing America's Supreme Court under the authority of Satan. We become satanic in America. He said, go tell them, let my people go. Now listen, there are still some Christians in America. We still have true believers in God, true worshipers in God, true believers in God. And God is going to take care of his own. We will not embrace same-sex marriages or any other wickedness that our Supreme Court comes up with. He said in verse 2 of Exodus 9, if I refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. God is fixing to do something to the earth. He told them, let my people go. Now listen, this law that you've just passed is going to create total hell in America. You know why? in the book of Genesis, when Sodom and Gomorrah was at its height, when God sent two male angels to Lot's house to take him out of Sodom and Gomorrah while he destroyed, all of the old men and young men from all parts of the city came to rape those two angels who had just come to town to free Lot and his family. Ooh-wee! What are you talking about, Parker? See, the problem with this homosexuality and same-sex marriages is not the women. It's going to be the men. They're going to be raping and killing other men. They're going to try to make every man in the United States accept or be gay. That's the thing that happened over in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why I say America now is the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, America, the new Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're just beginning to be the hellions that we're going to be. This situation will not get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to make the man go stark raving crazy. See, we don't want to teach our children certain things about science. When two men get together and want to have sex, they create a bad situation. When those men start having that indecent, low-down type of sex where they are having sex in a place where God created that we should manure out of, that is not the life hold. The woman only has the life hold. That hold on both the man and the woman is the death hold. That's where we free all of our stuff that we ate out of. It's not for procreation. And the problem is that now once that starts, when men start having men, they don't understand that when they're in that dispute hole, that they can touch a gland close to the prostate that releases a fluid that should not leave the man's body. Once that fluid leaves his body, he gets that effeminacy in him and he wants a man. Hey! That's when homosexuality among men going to go crazy. And it's going to be the men that's going to be the problem. When it came to, when those two angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah, all of the old men and young men went to rape those two angels. And Lot told them, I got two virgin daughters in here. Y'all can have them. We want them. We want them men. Woo-wee! They got America, the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Your Supreme Court has endorsed that men can marry men and women can marry women. Woo-wee! And now I saw on television where there are people now wanting humans to marry animals. Woo-wee! We have gone ridiculous in America. And it's going to get worse. It will not get better. We have embraced sin. And as a nation, when you embrace sin, you fall as a great nation. We're on the way down, and we got the enemy sitting in the camp laughing at us, happy as they want to be. some of these folk that are running our corner stores and Holiday Inns and motels and hotels from other countries, they are happy because they can see us about to fall as a great nation. Some told me, pulled me aside and told me, some of the same stuff you all are doing is what caused us in India to go down years before. And y'all haven't got hold of the good dope that they had at that time, too. Ooh-wee! They're sitting here. The enemy is in the camp. And our days are numbered. America, we're going to have to repent or else. Now, can we do it? This sin is going to spread like fire throughout America. God is warning us now. Look at how the weather patterns have changed. And they're going to get worse simply because of the sin in America. God told them in the ninth chapter of the book of Exodus, let my people go. Verse 2, he said, for if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Israel, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Listen, right now, those of us who are true believers, praying, we keep declaring that God did not approve of same-sex marriages. And we as Christians will never embrace same-sex marriages. And those who are doing it, get your ticket now. You're signing your ticket to hell because that's where you're going to go. And if you embrace it, you're going to hell too. Sin will never win. And listen, God is going to start doing some things. We as Christians should know that. Stay in the arena of God as Christians and watch what he does to those that are not Christians. We have to do it. Now is the most important time. The Supreme Court, you know why they call it the Supreme? Because man made it that. They have endorsed same-sex marriages. And they may as well go ahead on and vote humans and animals marrying together. I saw that on television. Folk want to marry animals, especially dogs, because they're already sleeping with dogs and stuff. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go to Africa and get some monkeys and apes and marry them. Ooh-wee! We're pathetic people in America. We have embraced Sodom and Gomorrah, and we are wallowing in the mire of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, are there any questions at this time? I want to ask Brother Brown, do we have any people online that need to have questions or want to say something?
Yes, we got a question, press one. We got Brother Parker on the line.
Yes, Brother Parker. Come on in, sir.
Okay, all right, yeah.
This is Brother Parker, I would imagine, who is the minister of the Darren Luke Church of Christ in Houston.
Yeah.
Yes, Brother Louis Parker the Fourth. Yes.
In Ephesians chapter 2, we have Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if we have any questions to the listening audience, feel free to stop me. You know, we thank Brother Parker Jr. for expounding upon the Word of God. Even if you have a question regarding the message that he brought forward, you know, please feel free to stop me. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, we have Paul writing to the congregations in this area. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. We all had our conversation, Paul says, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, Paul declared a sinful state. He declared where man was. The message that Brother Parker Jr. brought forth was about the fallibility of man, the unfortunate circumstances where man find himself in. And that's exactly what Paul was saying where we were in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But notice that something happens between verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 4 begins the start of something new. In verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians, Paul said, here's where you were. You were dead. You were enslaved. You were deserving of the wrath of God. You walked among the disobedient under Satan's dominion. But beginning at verse number 4, his tone changes, and he says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So notice what Paul is saying. When you were under Satan's dominion, when you were under his dominion, you were the children of wrath. But now, because of the grace of God, because of the love wherewith he loved humankind, by his power, what power? Ephesians chapter 1 tells us the power that God used to raise Christ from the dead. That same powerful God is the one the same power that he used to resurrect our spiritual lives. He resurrected us from a spiritual death, and now we could walk in newness of life because of his love, because of his grace wherewith he loved us with. He says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Watch this, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien. Watch what Paul says. Notice he gives another comparison. Here's who you were: aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, what he was saying, you were alienated from God. You were far away from his promises. And as a result of being far away from God, you have no hope. He says, having no hope and without God in the world. But in verse 13, he said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So it used to be that we were not even not even a citizen of the Christian nation, of God's commonwealth. But now because of the blood of Christ, in other words, now that we have become baptized, now we are citizens of God's kingdom. But notice what he's saying. Without God, you're still in darkness. Without God, you're still an alien. Without God, there's still distance between God and you. Not until you put Christ on in baptism, not until you've been covered by his blood, do you come near to God. And that's the message of hope that we are preaching, a message of hope to a dying and a perishing generation. We see a world today that's diminishing spiritually. We see a world today that's applauding darkness. But God is still there with open arms, willing to accept those who are willing to come to him. Because of his grace wherewith he loved us, he's saying, come to me, all ye that are heavy, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me. He's saying, I'm meek and gentle in spirit. You'll find rest for your souls. All those that are walking in darkness, you're without hope, the Bible says in verse number 12 of Ephesians 2, without hope, without God in the world. But he says there is hope for you, and that hope is found in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're asking people to do today. Leave out of darkness and turn to that marvelous light, the grace that God is showering upon you, the abundance of his mercy that he's shown for you should cause you to walk out of darkness. Leave that life of sin. And Paul makes clear that we all were there. And if we look back in our lives and we're honest people, we would admit that we were once in darkness. Everybody was in darkness. But thank God that because of his grace, the people that we were once were no longer anymore. Because of the grace of God, he led us to be where we are now. And it's not because of us, Paul made clear. It's not because of our doing. It's because of his grace and his mercy. So I'm asking anyone who's willing to accept God's grace, his mercy, you should find the Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ that's near you. If no matter where you are, what state you live in, what city you live in, even what country you live in, or even if you live here in Houston, you could contact one of us and we'll help you locate a Bible church. And when I say a Bible church, I mean the church that's found in the Bible. We'll help you locate that church, a Church of Christ near you. If you live in a northeast sector of Houston, I'm inviting you to Daring Luke Church of Christ. Come, and we'll be happy to have you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask questions, because we totally believe that truth has nothing to hide. The church that you used to go to, the pastor, the reverend, a bishop, or whatever he calls himself, might say, well, God told me to tell you what I'm telling you, and you don't have no business to question what I'm saying. But we don't believe that mess, because we believe that truth has nothing to hide. We believe in the Bible, and we believe that you have every right to question the messenger of God, because we're just messengers preaching the message of God. And we're not trying to hide the truth. We believe truth shouldn't hide. So if a person have a question, they ought to feel free to ask it. If you attend a church where the pastor act like he don't want to entertain the question, you might question where you're going. But at the end of the day, we preach in the Church of Christ. We preach the message of God. And we welcome questions. But we want you to know that God loves you. We want you to know that no matter how bad you've been, there's someone who's been worse than you. Matter of fact, the letter, the few verses that I just got through reading from you was written by a man who called himself the chief of sinners, a man who persecuted Christians, a man who had, when he was saved, he had an arrest warrant to go and persecute Christians, to arrest them, even to beat and have them killed. But this man found Jesus. This man who wrote what I just read to you, this man who said that he once was a chief of sinners. He completely turned his life around and gave his life to God. This man's name is Paul. He's from Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus, or Saul of Tarsus. This man wrote almost half of the New Testament. So notice what God could do. Take someone who was in error and use him in a powerful way. That same God is still in the saving business today. That same God could take life that was once caught up in darkness, put that person on the right track, put that person in his light by his love, and then have that person to be used of him in a powerful way. Don't you want that for your life? That's the message of hope that we're declaring to you tonight. That's the message that we're that God is using us to declare to you, that no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how much darkness you think you have in your life, that the light of God is so powerful that it could penetrate any opaque heart. And once your heart is penetrated by his light, then he could save you. But you have to open your heart to him, open your mind to accept his message. And that's what we're asking you tonight. You've heard the gospel of your salvation, the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus the Christ is the Messiah? He's the Son of the living God, willing to repent of your sins, to leave darkness and turn to the marvelous light? If so, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You could do that publicly. If you come to our church building, we could take your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, after which we'll baptize you. And that's how men are saved today, through water baptism. We'll baptize you, and you can walk in newness of life. All your past sins are washed away, no matter what it is. You might say, well, Brother Parker, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of person that I've been. No, you're right, I don't. But I know who do know, and I know that he loves you so much that he's willing to forgive that. If you submit your life to him, be baptized. No matter how bad it is, he'll throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again, and that way your conscience could be cleared. But you got to submit yourself to him. That's the message of hope that I have for you, and that message I hope you take to heart, and I hope you take it seriously. And if you have any questions regarding it, or if you want to talk to me further, I ask you to please get in contact with me, and I'll be more than happy to sit down with you personally and to offer a Bible study. And in that Bible study, I guarantee you that I will not give you my opinion, what I think, because when it comes to the Word of God, I believe that I'm not important enough to have an opinion. When God said it, that was it. It don't matter what I think about it. It don't matter. The only thing that matters to me is what God said. So in Bible study, I take that very seriously. I move myself and what I think out of the way. The only thing that matters is what God said, and that's the only thing that we'll discuss. So I pray tonight, and I pray for you tonight, that you'll accept this message. Let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I pray that who's ever listening in this audience, who's ever heart was touched by the message that you had for them, oh Lord, that you would just bless them. Lord, give them the opportunity to submit their lives to you, to walk out of darkness into your marvelous light, Father. The same opportunity that you granted me, the same opportunity that you granted Brother Parker Jr., the same opportunity you granted Brother Brown, the same opportunity that you granted every Christian that's on the face of the earth today, past, present, and future. That same opportunity you've granted unto us, Father, that same opportunity you're given to the whoever's listening in the audience tonight who hasn't been saved. Father, I pray that you bless them to submit to that offer of grace that you've given them. Lord, may they open up their minds, their hearts, to accept your message and to walk out of darkness, Father. And may you use your power, as you promised, to save them from this perishing generation, to save them from a life of darkness, and to place them on the right path, so that when, instead of being far away from you, they could draw closer to you. And as you reveal yourself more and more to them, they'll learn more and more, not only about you, but also about their own selves. And they'll walk with sweet communion. They'll walk in sweet communion with you, Father. As you are in the light, then they'll be in the light as well. And we pray for them this evening, this night, Father, that you've given them that opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity you give them, and may you give them boldness and the courage enough to ask questions and to submit to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo-hoo! Listen, church, we better get right with Christ, for times are getting tough, and he's going to take care of his own. God has always spared his own. Are there any other questions, Brother Brown, on the line, or anybody else want to speak? Is Mr. Moore there?
No, sir, he's not on the line.
Are there anyone else?
If you have people online, somebody got a question, press one, and we'll get to you. Just press the number one button, and we'll get to you. Yeah, I guess everybody just listening.
You just okay. All right. Well, Lord, we got that was a wonderful lesson that Brother Parker the fourth brought to you, and you need to come over to Darren Luke Church of Christ and visit with him at your convenient time and see he's a dynamite preacher, a wonderful preacher. So we look for you to be there. It's located at 7014 Darien Street in Houston, Texas. The phone number is 713-633-0538. That's the Church of Christ in Darien Loop. And please come over and visit me, the dynamite preacher. Woo-hoo! We were talking about what's going on right now in America. Now, we need to get ready for some tough times, because what you're going to see is that many of us who are members of the true church of the Bible, we are not going to embrace same-sex marriages, and we are going to declare that they are not right, and they have never been in the Bible. It is unbiblical, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God never ordained that kind of foolishness that we see going on in America today. Make it tough. But notice how God has always taken care of his own. That's why I was over in Exodus, the ninth chapter with you, talking about when God said, let my people go. You see, America, you're not going to be able to stop the true Christians of America for being Christians and not accepting this sinful foolishness going on now. Preaching against it, standing against it, voting against it, against it all the way. And God is going to move on you if you mess with his people. God is saying, look, his people are free on this land, and he's going to provide for them. You know, he went on to say in that ninth chapter of the book of Exodus, and verse number 8, ninth chapter, verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses scull it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and it shall be a bold breaking forth with blains unto man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a bowl breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. And the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hardened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee that my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will come, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Listen, we're moving to some times in America now that we will see the hand of God moving. Now, man is going to call it science. He's going to call it the weather report and all this foolishness. But God is going to be moving. See, we have embraced a wickedness that God never, ever, ever, ever endorsed. Same-sex marriage. He created the man, Adam, and Eve, the wife for Adam. They procreated and brought forth children, Cain and Abel and others. And that's what man is to do today. Be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. Not to raise all of this hell that's going to be going on in America. Same women marry women, men marrying men. Women marrying dogs, men marrying dogs and animals and everything else. Ooh-ray! We're going to hell in a handbasket. And we don't think it's loose now. You better believe it's loose. I say, well, that preacher just talking. He just saying that. Look, you just watch and see how this thing is going to happen. It's going to get terrible in America. And if we're not overthrown before we fall to the bottom, we're going to be at the bottom. Because our enemies are laughing at us. They see that we are falling as a great nation. We have stopped embracing God, the Creator. And now we're falling in love with Satan and doing all of the things from hell that Satan wants us to do. That's why the question in the sermon is, what in hell do you want? Now, don't you put no V in there. Don't you put a V in that statement. There's not a V there. I preached that sermon some years ago at a gospel meeting, and one of the brothers got up and said, well, that was a wonderful sermon that Brother Parker preached. What in the hell do you want? No, that's not what I'm saying. I said, what in hell do you want? What's down there that make you just act so crazy and live like somebody crazy to try to get to hell? Is there a reward down there for you? Is there something great down there in hell? tell us. You might can get us to go down there with you, but I don't think you're going to be able to do that. What's so good that people are living so wicked and so wild and so crazy nowadays? They could care less about anything. They've fallen in love with the stuff of the world, the things of the world, and they cut God out of everything. Now they'll belong to Satan, and he got a place to take you. Not only will you get example of hell on earth, you're going to get the real thing when you go to hell. You see, when you start living satanically and wicked on earth, you cannot live a good life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and having more abundantly. The best life you can ever have on planet Earth is a Christian life. That's the best life you can have on planet Earth. And then you have a glorious eternal life in heaven, where streets are like gold. Beautiful. Eternally. But the other side, you get hell on earth and eternal hell down in hell. It's good to live the right life. Those of you that know what I'm talking about, I don't have to tell you. You've experienced it already. You see, there are a lot of Christians on this earth, and it's hard to tell people what you've been through and what God is doing for you and how God is blessing you. It's hard to tell unbelievers that. You can't tell them. They don't want to believe it because he ain't done nothing but lying. She's not doing anything but lying. I had a good time last night. Woo, I got high. I smoked me a whole lot of that marijuana, and I got high and felt good. I got a little headache now, but I'm going to be all right. You on your way to hell, too. What in hell do you want? God was destroying the land, as we see that he did in the book of Exodus. He started telling them, let my people go. And if they would not let the, and if Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go, he would do other things to them. He said, sprinkle that bowl up toward heaven, that dust up toward heaven as hell. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, God of heaven, of Hebrews, rather, let my people go, that they may serve me. Notice what God said, that they may serve me. Listen, we as members of the body of Christ right now, we are to consistently be serving God. It is a 24/7 job. Once you have become a member of the body of Christ, you are 24/7 a member of the church. Keep serving God in all that you do. It's not a when you come to church thing. It's not a when you feel bad thing. It's a 24/7 thing. In verse 14, he said, for I will at the time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon the people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Look, there's nobody like God in this whole earth right now. Nobody can do for you what God is doing for you if you're serving him right now. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people in pestilence with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause, I raise thee up for to show to thee my power, and that my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. God said, you're going to recognize me. And listen, America, we've become so powerful and mighty, we think we've just wiped God out of everything. Now we can have same-sex marriage and everything else. There ain't no God. We the gods now. No, no, no. God is going to let us know without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing like him on this earth. He's finna send some situations on America some pestilence, some storms, some all kinds of stuff on us to let us know he's in charge, demanding us to repent. You see, we've got to repent now. And that's why we as members of the body of Christ can never embrace same-sex marriages and all the other foolishness and sins that's going to happen now. Putting a stamp of approval on wickedness, we can never do. We've got to take a stance. And it gets rough. History repeats itself. Even when God's people stood up against Rome, many times they were murdered, they were destroyed, because they kept embracing the laws of God. We must embrace the laws of God. We must keep doing like God told us to do. We must live the life that God has commanded us to live. And when we do it, don't you think that things are going to be all right for Satan? No, it's not. It's going to create a whole lot of situations for Satan and his foolishness. Yes, it will. It has always done that. When righteousness stands up, wickedness is touched, God will intervene and make it all right for those that want to do right. Brother Brown, are there any callers on? Anybody want to come on and speak? Is Brother Moore on? Mr. Moore on?
No, sir. We've got people on the line just listening. That's it.
Just listening. Are there any questions? Because we're gonna close in a minute or two. Are there any questions from anybody online?
No, sir.
If there's no questions, I'll just say this. I believe for those who are walking the right path, I believe it's important that you be encouraged, because I believe as children of God, sometimes we get discouraged when we see others who are doing wrong, prosper, seeming to get their way. And as children of God, it appears that the world is now going against us. You know, the world is accepting for right what is wrong, and what is we know is right is being condemned and made wrong by the world. I want the child of God, I want each Christian to be encouraged, knowing that the right way will always win. I believe it's fitting that Brother Parker was in Exodus, you know, talking about the hardening of the heart of the Pharaoh. See, the old Pharaoh was good with Joseph and Joseph's people, but when a new Pharaoh took over, the Bible teaches us that the new Pharaoh did not know God. So the new Pharaoh had put taskmasters over Joseph, you know, over the people, the children of Israel, and they became enslaved, the Egyptian bondage, basically. They were in Egyptian bondage. So what happened was that no matter what they went through, they cried out to God, and God delivered them. See, so therefore, no matter what God's people are going through, if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, you could count on God's deliverance. And that is important for each Christian to know in our individual life, but also in our corporate life as a church. We could count on God's deliverance. God is not dead. He is not asleep. He knows exactly what he's doing. His timing is right no matter what it is. We might not, we say, well, he might not come when we call, but you could best believe that he's always on time. We had the brother call in last week and asked the question about the revelation that I thought was a very good question about John's revelation, what we call in our Bible as the book of Revelation. You know, in that letter, John writes, in that revelation, he writes, you know, Jesus instructs one of the churches in Asia Minor, be ye faithful unto death. Even if it costs you your life, be faithful. And what? You receive your reward, a crown of life. So each child of God should know that no matter what you go through, no matter how intense it gets, no matter what it is, God will deliver. And if you just hold on to his unchanging hand, you be encouraged because your reward is waiting. Be encouraged. Please be encouraged.
Amen. And we want to thank all of you tonight. And if there's anyone that may have a question now, just press button number one. Brother Brown, do we have anybody that might want to say something or a question?
No, sir, not at the moment.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate Brother Louis Parker IV, the minister of the Darren Loop Church of Christ and the sponsor of this program. And on Thursday night, we have Bible Question and Answers sponsored by Darren Loop Church of Christ. And, of course, it'll be hosted by Brother Horace Robbins and Brother Parker IV and myself, Brother Parker Jr. And we'll all be on the panel to answer any questions that you might have on that night. Brother Robbins will let you know what the subject going to be about, but you can ask any questions you want to. And we certainly appreciate looking forward to listening to you 7:30 Thursday night. Thank you, Brother Brown.